The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, and the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, St. Andrews.
Good morning.
Oh, that's a nice response. Little Johnny decided to sit down on a fine Advent day and write a letter. "Dear Santa," he wrote, "since last Christmas, I've been a very good boy." He paused, put the pencil to his lips, thought about it a moment, wadded that effort up and threw it away. Got out a fresh piece of paper and said, "Dear Santa, since last Christmas, I've been a pretty good boy." That one was quickly history too. He got up and wandered around his room, thinking, and then he noticed the statuette of the Madonna that his mother had placed on his dresser. And in a flash, he picked it up, wrapped it up in his old jeans, opened the bottom drawer of the dresser and put it all the way in the back and closed the drawer. Went over, sat down, and wrote again, "Dear Santa, if you ever want to see your mother again..." Advent is about making our lives better. Just as that lad in the story understood. Accomplishing that comes in two forms, internal and external. The internal is what we do in our solitude. And it has to do especially with our prayer, how we pray. When you entered the pew this morning, perhaps you knelt down for a moment and said a prayer. Maybe you like a brief prayer, like, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, please make the sermon short. Amen." Or perhaps you have a longer prayer. St. Teresa of Avila put it, I think, rather wonderfully when she wrote this: "Prayer is nothing else than an intimate sharing between friends. It means frequently taking time to be alone with God, who we know loves us. The important thing is not to think much, but to love much, and so to do what best stirs you to love. That's the very heart of our internal Advent summons. Our external Advent summons, we might call our ethics, especially our compassion, how we treat one another. For example, once upon a time, a rural nobody climbed up onto the world stage and denounced injustice. He even rebuked the governor for injustice, for violating the law, and for adultery. Speaking truth to power is always dangerous, unless it's flattery. But what that man said was not flattery. The governor had the nobody arrested and put in prison. It turned out that the woman that the governor had had the affair with was his brother's wife. And when her daughter, that man's niece, danced for him, he was so impressed that he offered her anything she wanted. And she asked for the head of that man who had accused the king of injustice, or the governor of injustice. And he gave it to her. That governor's name was Herod Antipas. And the prisoner's name was John Ben Zechariah, better known to us as John the Baptist. John was the forerunner preparing the way for the Messiah, echoing Isaiah, whose words we read earlier this morning. He urged people to prepare for the coming of the Messiah by repenting of their sins and by being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. John had become immensely popular by then. People came out from all over, out into the wilderness to hear him preach. But he was executed before he had a chance to meet Jesus. He expressed his faith in Jesus memorably when he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And as we read in today's gospel, Jesus said of John, "Truly I tell you that among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist." And then he added, "Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." Fast forward 20 centuries to the 20th century. And another rural nobody jumped up onto the world stage and boldly denounced injustice. And he denounced the laws and the leaders that led to injustice. And he too was sent to prison. But unlike John, he was not executed. And the day after that man was released from prison, from 27 years in prison, I asked a bunch of teenagers whom they admired most. A man who spoke out against injustice, and for that was condemned to a long time in prison, or a man who promised not to speak out against injustice and was not imprisoned. It didn't take the kids very long to say they admired the first man more than the second man. And then I told them that the name of the first man who had just been released from prison that morning was Nelson Mandela. And the name of the other man who had promised not to speak out against injustice was Fletcher Davis, their rector. The reason that I had made that promise was that when my plane landed in Johannesburg, South Africa, I had to make that promise in order to walk a few yards across the tarmac to a car that was waiting to pick me up and drive me the rest of the way to Botswana, the next country north, where I served as a missionary. 4 years after that event, Nelson Mandela was elected as president of South Africa, the very first black president of South Africa. And then he did something that was really quite extraordinary. For the first time in the history of the world, he made national policy of Jesus' forgiveness. And he appointed the Archbishop of Johannesburg, Desmond Tutu, to lead a Truth and Reconciliation Commission where people told the truth about what they had done to torture or what they had done as victims of the prior policies, with the promise that if they were honest, that there would be no punishment, that they would be forgiven. And that's what happened. That was the first time that sort of thing had ever been done anywhere. Now you may notice it's being copied in other places. John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus if he were indeed the Messiah, the one who was to come, the one for whom he was the forerunner. And Jesus replied, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the dead and the deaf hear, and the dead are risen, and the people have the good news brought to them." And he said a little later on, that the least in his kingdom is greater than John. And that means Nelson Mandela is greater than John. And that means that you are greater than John. Justice is love in action. So justice always reveals injustice, always reveals a lack of love. How can we put Christ's love in front and center in our lives? In our prayers and in our ethics. We can start by praying together the collect for the third Sunday in Advent. In your pew in front of you is a red book, the Book of Common Prayer, and that prayer is on page 212. If you turn to that, perhaps we can join together in it. And pray it every day this week. You'll be surprised at its results. It grows more effective with use. This day is sometimes called, this third Sunday in Advent, is sometimes called Stir Up Sunday because of the first two words in that collect. Let us pray it together. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives in the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Long ago, I sat down to a man, next to a man at a counter who reached for the sugar jar and poured the half-full jar of sugar into his coffee. And then he demanded more. The waitress looked at him with disdain and said, memorably, "Stir up what you already have." Well, we know Advent's call to live better. We know Christ's love in our prayers and in our ethics. We know the love of the forgiveness of Jesus. And we know not to try to hide our sins in the bottom drawer of a dresser. So how could we better prepare for Christmas than by stirring up the love that we already have, the love of Christ in our hearts? That's the true Advent spirit that leads to a merrier Christmas, to a brighter future for the two children who are about to be baptized, and to a more enthusiastic welcome to your new rector, who will be here next month. God bless you, one and all. Amen.